I'll ask you to bear with
while I cover a very uncomfortable conversation. And to be honest with you, I was plumb gonna skip it, you know. But as I was going through, as will happen sometimes when you're trying to do things your way instead of the Lord's way, I was trying to move on in my notes, and I couldn't. And then Sunday rolled around, and Brother Mark brought this up in his devotion, and I figured, well, Lord, I'm not that stubborn. And here we are. Verse 23 says this, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, it is mine to bring forward this very uncomfortable sermon. But Lord, I pray that these words be your words and that, Lord, your guidance rules over my inability. Father, help me. Help us, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In the game of chess, you can signal surrender by dropping your king on its side. And I like watching professionals play chess. I'm not that good at it, but I'm good enough at it to where I can pay attention to what other people are doing. Like, that's it. It's kind of like watching football, right? Couldn't play it, but I know how the rules are. And I watching it enough, I know to at least pretend I know what I'm doing. When you get to the point to where you don't think you're going to win or you know you can't win, one player can choose to lay its king on its side. When you're out of moves, when you know there's nothing to stop the inevitable, it may seem reasonable to end it quick by surrendering. Ahithophel, when discouraged, when stuck, and when ineffectual, set his king down. From 2000 to the year 2020, more than 800,000 people joined Ahithophel in laying their king down. Of that number, 78.7% were men. They start measuring the average over at the CDC at the age of 10. Look at some of the reports and it starts at the age of 10. When I was reading through this, I had to stop. I think the percentage was almost 2%. I think it was 2.8 maybe. Percent under the age of 14. I have to double check some of those. I don't always read things right. But seeing the age of 10 there threw me. In 2022, we hit an all-time high at 49,500. And by the way, this is just our country. 49,500. In the same year, it was recorded that 1.6 million people were recorded to have made an attempt. That is recorded and reported to those that keep track of such things. We understand that to end one's life is the ultimate representation of a lack of faith in God. We are to approach God for wisdom, knowledge, strength, hope, and peace. Laying your king down is an insult to the King of Kings. It also takes all your problems and dump them on your loved ones, and at the same time shattering their hearts. Knowing this, then, why do people still do it? Why so many? Because it is a reality. And I think part of our problem is the fact that we have so we are so repulsed by it that we're not allowed to talk about it. You know, one of the members said recently, I'm not going to put him on the spot, but they said, we don't always know in church how to treat people who are sick in the mind. What do we do? I know what we do. We get ugly about it. We don't talk about it. Here's the thing. If somebody in our church had an addiction to something, whose responsibility is it to go and talk to them and help them get right? It's ours. We love you. We want what's best for you. So let's talk about it. Let's get you some help. Let's start a conversation. Let's figure out where you are according to where God, and measure that against where God wants you to be. What can we do? But instead, so often, we just don't acknowledge it. What happens to a problem that you don't acknowledge? Now, for those of us men, right? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I can guess. How many of you have had an ache, a pain, a soreness, or some kind of damage to your body that you just waited for it to go away? Some of us are sitting there going, brother, I've had that all my life. Right? It's just, it's not going away. My wife gives me a hard time because I've got one. Go get it checked out. I go, why? What are they going to tell me? And tell me what they always tell me. You need to lose some weight. So what I'll do is I'll lose some weight, then I'll go back. Why don't you go to the doctor? What are they going to tell me? I'm sick. What happens when you leave a problem alone? Does it ever tend to get better? In my opinion, the things that we ignore and keep running on tend to get worse. Ahithophel could have asked for forgiveness from David for his rebellion, using his bitterness towards what David did as the reason. Now you got to remember, Ahithophel was grandpa. It was Bathsheba's grandpa. See, as much as I'd like to sit there and say, Ahithophel, you're a fool. Ahithophel, what's wrong with you? I think for any of you who've ever had children or grandchildren, you get it. You mess with my grandchildren, we're going to have problems. We've seen it 1,000 times if we've seen it once, where somebody messes with somebody's family and the whole family goes after them. Man, you say something mean about my kids, you're going to have me on your hands. Now, that doesn't sound as threatening as you may think. Sometimes I'm just obnoxious to you about it. But the fact of the matter is, Ahithophel had an axe to grind, and he ground it in sin. But he could have gotten out of this. Ahithophel's knowledge, his advice, is said that the things he said were as sound as if God said them. He had the knowledge, he had the wisdom, he could have gotten out of this another way. Ahithophel left his wife and family in a vulnerable and broken-hearted position. But yet still people today still struggle. Why, in knowing the issues that it could cause, why in knowing that it's wrong, why does it still continue? Well, there's a handful of things I've got here for you. When people get into this position, sometimes it's because they can say something along the lines of, I am trapped by this problem, and there is no hope to get out of it, making me miserable. These are your physical pains, your relationship pains, and your financial pains. For those people who live in a very extensive amount of pain for an extended amount of time, this is where they fit. You go to the doctor, and what is it? Diagnose and adios. Doctor, my back hurts. Well, how old are you? Whew, that's it. You had no idea your birthday candles were throwing your back off, did you? You go in there, hey doc, listen, I've got this hammering in my head, and I can't get the hammering in your head out, and in my head out. It just hurts all the time. Oh, well, how old are you? See, that's it. How often do you go eat out? Oh, see, that's it. Yeah, too much salt. Have some less. And it seems like you get to a certain age, and they just don't take you seriously. From my high school age up to about my mid-20s to about a few years into having been married to my wife, I had very bad stomach pains. And I'd have an ulcer, unknowing. I'd had ulcers that would open up, and I would be bleeding internally. And it was in just such a place to when they did an endoscope, they couldn't see it. And when they went through the other way, they couldn't see it. Why? Because it was in that tiny little avenue in between. We were home, what, a week, week and a half from our honeymoon? I near bled to death. Doc, I got a problem. Ah. Doc, I got a problem. And they would always say this. They would say, well, Matt, you seem to be fine. You know the trick about men is, right? we're good at seeming fine. My dad shattered his knee at work, made it all the way home, propped it up, put some ice on it, and was talking about, well, I'm going to have to go to the store and get a brace so I can go to work tomorrow. It was shattered. He was off that knee for months. That's what I'm drawing off of. You suck it up, buttercup, and you get out there. So that's what you do. You, Doc, I got this pain. Doc, I got this problem. And after a while, you get to being of the opinion it's not going anywhere, and that toys with your brain. Pain over long, extended periods of time will mess with your brain. Financial problems, burdens with your family. These things, when we feel as though there is little to nothing we can do anything about, is one of the leading causes, people say, that brings them to the point of where they were. The next one, I am alone in this problem, and no one can help me. Loneliness. Loneliness is fatal. We are social creatures. Now, we may be made up of a good mix of introverts or extroverts, loud people, quiet people, and everything in between. You know, people say, well, you're either this or you're that. Well, you know what? Sometimes I feel like being left alone. And other moments, I can't handle being alone. You know, there's a lot of in between in those areas. But nobody likes being completely alone. Not for long periods of time. When we're referring to having lost somebody that you spent your life with, moving to a new area and not having anybody to rely or be friends with. You know, I think nowadays we're spoiled. You know, we moved an hour and a half away from our family, and I could sit there and video call my mom. I can hop in a vehicle, drive down there and see him. We just spent the night over at their house for the conference. Just that many miles, hour and a half, no big deal. Don't even have to stop now. We've gotten to a certain age where everybody can hold it for an hour and a half. You know what I mean? It's wonderful. Wonderful. Every now and then they still ask when we're going to get there. And I still do the dad answer, why, you got someplace to be? Or the other one, listen, when we get there, I'm going to stop driving. I promise that if we're there, the car will stop moving. I'm not going to keep going. But loneliness is a serious thing. And loneliness comes in all different kinds of forms. I've known some people that can feel completely lonely surrounded by people. And there's certain jobs that'll do that for you. When you are at a certain position to where you can't be just one of the guys. You can't just be one of the gals. Loneliness, especially loneliness in a problem. Hey, can you help me with this? I really don't have time. Hey, do you have a second to talk? No, man, I'm slammed. I'll get back to you. And nobody ever gets back to the guy. Nobody gets back to the lady. And the loneliness and the sitting there with the problem takes over. Folks, this is one of the many reasons why church is so important. Not just the idea of attending, but being one with the family. Knowing that you could pick that phone up and call somebody. Knowing that somebody might come by and say hi to you. Knowing that you don't pray alone. Knowing that you don't fight alone. So trapped. Lonely. Next one is, I am powerless in my current situation to do anything. And am most likely the cause of it. People would be better off. The situation would be better off without me. In many ways, when I look at Ahithophel's actions, I wonder how much of it was strategic. Did he sit there and say, well, maybe David will leave my family alone if I'm not here to punish? Or was it that he sat there and said, listen, this kid isn't listening to me. Absalom is going to lose because he is doing the exact wrong thing. I am headed towards David's punishment no matter what. Maybe he was the number one. Maybe it's number two. When you're that smart and you're that wise and you know the answer to everything, it can get awful lonely. When you're right, nobody wants to listen to you. You guys know a little bit about that, don't you? You sit there, you go to your kids. Hey, listen, man, I know you're old. You don't need my help anymore, but let old dad tell you. Let mom tell you. And what do? You don't know. As you were getting into retirement, for those of you that crossed that barrier, you were giving the new hires, you were giving the college grads that were coming in, hey, listen, this is how you what you're going to want to do. Here's some tools that we've been using, and maybe this will be a help to you. Psh, no. I've got something better than that. Makes you feel lonely, makes you feel old-fashioned, makes you feel like you're beyond the curve. Or maybe he sat there and said, this is my fault. I put my wife and my family, my house, I put it in danger because I chose the wrong horse. Feeling useless. Feeling miserable because you're the one who messed things up. Feeling guilty over every decision you make. And you know, there's some people out there, majestic creatures they are, that no matter what they do, they feel like an utter and complete failure. They could win first prize and still feel as though they did the worst job of anybody and they just got lucky. And we joke about it. Well, one of these days people are going to catch on and they're not going to let me do this anymore. And for some people it's not a joke. They're waiting for people to see them the way they see themselves. And with Ahithophel's genius, perhaps this was a part of it. Now, there is another one. See, as your pastor, I can advise you and help you with emotional pain where it is centered in either your brain or in your spirituality, either your spirit or your soul. I can help you with that. But there is another side to this token, and that is something wrong in the physical or chemical structure of your brain. I'm not a doctor. I can't help you. I can pray for you and ask God to heal it for you, but there comes a point where it's physical. There comes a point where maybe it's a tumor, and I would advise you on this. If you are coming across some depressive, some strange emotions you don't normally feel, I would check with your doctor as to your medication. A lot of people don't consider this, but you take medication for this, you take medication for that, you take medication for this, you mix it all together and it starts to have unintended consequences. Make sure your doctor knows what's up. Make sure the doses are there. I just had a conversation with my doctor, kind of illuminated this while I was studying it. He's like, well, did I put you on this or did I put you on that? I said, you put me on this. You wrote it down, right? He goes, well, yeah, it's in my computer. Sometimes I get to running fast and I forget. Now you think of all the medication that's out there. And you think of how busy a doctor is. It is unfair to assume that he's going to remember all the possible combinations and all the possible side effects of everything you're on. It is okay to stop and ask your pharmacist, hey, is this a good combination? Remind your doctor, hey, this is what I'm on. This is how I'm feeling. You got to have that conversation. I know as a Baptist pastor, I'm supposed to tell you that your brain is the one thing that never gets broken. But tumors happen all the time. Chemical imbalances happen all the time. Illnesses, diseases can affect the way your brain works. Go see your doctor. Now, on the other side, I would dare to say that most of the time when you're feeling trouble, it's because you're doing something or there's something in your life that shouldn't be there. If you make a thing that's designed for a thing do something it's not supposed to, you're going to see the effects. We've got this little tiny, it's not a little tiny, I like the size of it. We got one of those multi-air fryer, baker, bread proofer. It does everything, man. If I was small enough, it'd probably travel me back through time. I could start baking something, travel to when it's done. Perfect. That bad boy will go all the way up to 450 degrees. It's not designed to stay that way for hours, right? Your car can go, 130, 140 miles an hour? It's not designed to do that often, nor for long periods of time. Your brain and your body are designed for a particular thing. And if you're using your brain wrong, or things are happening that's challenging it in the wrong way, or your body's not being used properly, you're going to have some issues with it. When Elijah was going through his problems, and we're going to refer to him a few times here, when Elijah was going through his problems, what was the first thing God made him do? Have some food, have a nap. Another problem that we get is that great big burning thing out there. Did you know you're supposed to be out there in front of that thing every now and then? You may not be Superman, but you need to recharge out there. Get some vitamin D. If you're inside a lot, in front of the television a lot, staring at your cell phone a lot, you're killing yourself. You cannot be surprised when your body feels terrible. So what do? We take care of this, and we take care of our spirit. And if we're sitting there doing both, and we're being honest about it, and we still have issues, that's when we go to the doctor. We say, hey, doc, listen, can we check my medication? Can we check, you know, something? See what's going on. So we see there is trapped by this problem and there's no hope. Alone in this problem and there's no help. I'm powerless and it's my fault and there's guilt. And then finally there's the physical component. These are the number one assassins of our will to live. Most of the time when people desire to lay their kings down, these are the reasons why it came up. Well, why do we talk about it, brother? Why do you bring it up? Why do you think this is important? Because it is a biblical issue. Most people don't understand this, but it's a biblical issue. Do you remember Abimelech? Abimelech was that enemy king? He's sitting there fighting the children of Israel. Somebody drops, a lady drops a millstone down on his head. And because he didn't want it said that a woman killed him, he performed assisted suicide in having his armor bearer kill him so no one would say a lady did it. Now that's weird, isn't it? But that's where he was. How about this? So we know Abimelech. How about Samson? Well now, brother, that's different. Well, remember what he said. Let me die with the Philistines. Let me die with them. He was embarrassed. He was weak. He was blind. He'd be laughed at the rest of his life. Give me a chance to bring down the house is a wonderful way to look at that message. But we cannot forget that what he did, he wanted to do. You know Saul, right? Lost the battle. How about his armor bearer? He did it too. Ahithophel here, of course. And then there's Zimri. Remember King Zimri? Probably not. Zimri, his reign lasted about this long, 7 days. Milkman didn't even come back around by the time they had a new king. Which is fine because the way he killed himself was after the people realized, hey, this guy's done something wicked, and they win a battle over there at a Philistine city, and they lift up Omri, and they're going to come back, and you know what he does? He slips off into his house, burns it down with him in it. 7 days his kingdom lasted. 7 days. And then Judas, you know, of course. Judas, you know. What about the people who just wanted to put their kings down but wouldn't? Rebecca, when challenged with the idea of where her son was going to get his bride, though it was a bit dramatic, she said she was weary of her life and asked what good it would be if he married the wrong woman. Solomon, when he saw what life was and what was at the end of the proverbial rainbow of getting everything you ever want, he said he hated life. Elijah himself said, I'm ready to go. Job, and of course we wouldn't question why Job would be in that position. And Jonah always baffled me. Jonah was so hateful of the Ninevite people that to watch the heathen come to repentance made him desire to die.
It is a biblical issue.
And I always laugh. The Bible doesn't talk about mental health.
The Bible doesn't stop talking about mental health.
And it doesn't stop, and it doesn't refrain from warning us about what happens if we don't take care of it. If you will turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You'll forgive me if we leave the story of Ahithophel a little bit. We'll put our toes back in there in a second. But Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is the biggest worry anybody should ever have? Being at enmity with God. Number one, your life ain't going to be right. And not only will your life not be right, but you're not going to have a lot of fun in your afterlife. You following me on this? Separation from God and all that he brings us and an eternity in hell would be the biggest worry I ever have. And Jesus Christ took care of that for you. If I die, I die. If I'm in pain, God sits on the throne. He could take it away when he's ready. And if I carry it to my grave, I leave it in the grave behind me. Now that's pretty to say, isn't it? It's much harder to do, which is why we have the warnings. Verse so, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? What do you mean we glory in the tribulations? Tribulations are hard. It's why we call them tribulation. The word tribulation doesn't even sound fun. If I brought you into my bakery and I said, hey, listen, I got cookies, I got donuts, I got muffins, and over here is a tray of tribulations. That doesn't even sound good, does it? What do you mean we glory in them? We glory in them. When bad things come our way, we don't let it get to us. We feel it. And we have to process those feelings. But folks, as we read, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Mr. McMahon, one of my teachers, I think I've told a few Mr. McMahon stories, but Mr. McMahon would do this to us. Well, Mr. McMahon, I don't know how to do that. Mr. McMahon, I can't do that. Well, why can't you do that? It's too hard. And he would sit there with a big old smile on his face, and he'd go, ah, so, it's a wonderful day. And he said, why is it a wonderful day? Because you're going to grow. And he meant that with all the sarcasm you give to a bunch of teenagers who don't want to do their math homework. That's what it was. You're going to grow today. This will be the last day. He wasn't corny with it. He was mean with it. And you know what he did? He made you do it. And they'd sit there and look at you, say something smug like, now see, you can never say you don't know how to do it again. And he'd move on. And I sat there. It took me a while to sit there and go, this is what he's doing. This may be hard. But you know what? If my life was a life without God, this would just be hard. And I might learn something about it. You know, if I had the right mind, if somebody came by, if I had the right Hallmark television show on, I might learn something from this. Maybe. But because God rules my life, it will make me better. Nothing is for nothing. That he would in there work patience. Patience. Man, I know a little girl right now. She needs to learn some patience. Now? No. Now? No. Now? No. Now? He says, "Say, well, when do they outgrow it? I don't know if anybody ever has. I'm sitting there, the tablet, we got an email yesterday saying that they've already sent it back to us. And it's going to be there Wednesday by 2 o'clock, it'll be there. Well, now you're an adult. You don't know anything about this, right? You sit there and say, well, it'll get here when it gets here. No, I'm related to that little girl. Now. I'm sitting there complaining to my wife over dinner. They didn't even pick it up yet. And how many of us in our troubles and our tribulations, Lord, now? No. Now? No. Now? No. Now? No. It hurts. I know. It's uncomfortable. I know. I'm angry. I know. So now? No. And what happens? For whatever reason, that stuff comes and goes. By the end of it, some good has been wrought from it. People say, well, what a mean God that would put us through that. No, you don't understand. This is a cursed earth. These are cursed bodies. Sin has affected and ruined everything, right? What should happen is stuff should be happening to us on a regular basis. It should beat us down. It should make us miserable. We should all be ready to set our kings down by the life that's going on around us. I had a lady, she was sitting there, man, she got cranky with me over some eggs at Walmart. And bless my heart, I couldn't say the right thing. I try. She sat there, we were picking over what was left of the eggs, and she goes, not a lot left. I go, no, ma'am. She goes, and they're expensive. I go, yes, ma'am. Trump. I go, well, maybe you like the ones Biden laid better. I don't know. Now, here's the thing. Those are things that we think, but we don't say in polite company. And some of us are still working on that. I don't like this. It's not good. But for us to sit there and go through small things like eggs to larger things like chronic debilitating pain, grief, losing your faith, not so much in the Lord, but just hope in things. It's hard. But because of the God we serve, when things that come to pass, we come out much stronger. These things were always going to happen to us. In this world, they would happen to us. But it is God who makes us come through them and makes us to come through them better and sharper. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Well, let's do verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. There's been times in my life where my wife and I would sit there up at night going, I don't know how we're going to get to work tomorrow. And we'd somehow make it to work tomorrow. We would sit there and say, we don't know how to fix this. We don't know where we're going to get that. We don't know how we're going to come up the money for this or that. We've been there, man. And now we have a very simple philosophy in our house. God has never failed us. Never failed us. We'll sit there and we get a little too comfortable sometimes. We'll sit there. Again, the windshield breaks on the car. Oh, that's what that refund was from the insurance. That's where that extra money was from. Because you know how you go to do that? You can't just turn that stuff into the insurance because you have to pay the deductible. And by the time you pay the deductible, you might as well have just paid the thing. You following me? They paid for it. You know, just giggle, giggle. Well, how are we going to fix it? Just wait. We'll see. See, patience brings to us experience. And what does experience restore to us or build in us that wasn't there before? Hope. Well, what makes you think God's going to do something this time? Because that's who He is. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Listen, I've done the gambit. You have too. This don't fix nothing. Are you one of those people that like to bicker when you get anxious about things? What has it ever done for you? They run out of something at the grocery store, so you fuss at the lady behind the counter. What has it ever procured for you? I remember working at Toys R Us when the new Xbox came out. Right? This was 2005, 2006. It was one of the first ones that could link up to the internet. And I worked at Toys R Us. We were there on Black Friday. We were supposed to get another shipment of them in. We had police officers escorting people out to their car with them. Well, what do you mean there's not another? Go look! Ma'am, we know how many is there. And we know they're gone. We had people screaming, fighting, arguing. We had people arrested. And even though some people were already arrested, more people misbehaved at a Toys R Us on a Black Friday. Could you imagine that? Well, how was your Thanksgiving weekend? Well, over what? Fussing, fighting, bickering, worrying, stressing, overeating, wringing your hands, telling everybody you know about the problem. It doesn't solve anything. If you can't do it by hard work, just rest assured that the Lord will take it from there. Do your responsibility and the Lord takes it from there. There are moments in my life where I'll sit there and something rough will happen and I'll go, Lord, I think I know what you're going to do about this, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait to see how you solve this problem. You know? Most recently, you know, my dad. I don't know why my dad had to go through that after having a stroke. I don't know how he was going to handle it. But as concerned for my father as I was, I could sit there and go, well, Lord, I'm waiting for your hand. I don't know how you're going to work this one out, but I'm watching. And folks, you know what that is? That's hope when you shouldn't have hope. Because you know who made plumb sure we didn't have any hope? Them doctors, man. When the doctor sits there and tells you, well, we'll do the best we can, you sit there and you say, yes. When the doctor sits there and says, brace yourselves. Not so good. Mom calls you crying. Not so good. There was this moment where we were sitting there with my dad, and he was going through chemo, and he was about to have a surgery, and I'm sitting with him, and I give him the gospel again. I said, Dad, you know, drinking and smoking for a lot of your life. He goes, yeah. Then you had that stroke, and you gave up drinking. I thought it was going to kill you, but you gave it up. You survived that stroke. He goes, yeah. I go, and you're surviving this cancer. He goes, yeah. I go, you ever think maybe God likes you? Gave him the gospel. He looks at me and he says, so what do you think? He goes, I don't know how to do that. Can I tell you, and I hope my mom doesn't listen to this, I've given my dad the gospel hundreds of times. And he has shut me down every time. He didn't shut me down. I don't know if he accepted the Lord. I don't know. Be honest with you. He is a private guy. He's a friendly guy, but he's a private guy. I might not know for a while. I might not ever know. But in just a split second, I saw his hand. And I go, there you are. Because I know he's working all the time. But every now and then, he just tips that hand just so, and you can see it. You go, oh. Now, don't get me wrong. God never does just one thing. He's always doing multiple things. But every now and then, while he's handling one chore, you see that hand, and you go, oh, there you are, Father. Experience. Hope. when we lose the sight of God, we lose hope. And from there, it is only a hop, skip, and a jump away from despair. I hate to say this, but point number one, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Don't go what alone? Life. Don't go it alone. Speak to your God. Speak to your God. Don't listen to these namby-pamby people today. They'll sit there and say, well, there ain't much God can do about your brain. He designed that thing. He's the only one who knows how it works. What are you doing? It astounds me how much we are learning about the human body. Right? That's why doctors, that's why medical staff, that's why people in that kind of a field need continuing education, because the research is ongoing and we are discovering miraculous and wonderful things about the body every day. You know who isn't learning about the human body every day? The one who made it. Don't go it alone. Well, the doctor says that it's a tumor. The doctor says that it's a chemical thing. The doctor's, did you know God is an expert at tumors and chemical things? You'd almost want to say that he invented them. He invented the brain. He invented the chemicals inside of it. He invented the cells that disobey and create the tumor. He is the master of all things. Well, I just can't pray it away. You can't pray anything away, duh. God can take it away. But you're right. Somebody said that to me one time. Well, I'm not just praying this one away. But listen, there's a lot of things that will leave you alone if you make enough noise. Health ain't one of them. But God can. Don't go it alone. Speak to your God. Here's one. Speak to your pastor. That's what I'm here for. Y'all let me off easy. You know that, right? I am nearing my prime. And I kind of feel like one of those dishes there in that story, Beauty and the Beast. Almost like the family Bible. I get dusted off on Wednesdays and Sundays. Put to use. It's bad enough Tom Klubine over there at Flat Rock elbows me and goes, so how's life? I said, oh, it's very good. He goes, I bet it is good. You only work 2 days out of the week. You turkey. You know, you could bother me just a little bit. And it won't affect my day at all. But more importantly, when you're not thinking straight, you need someone who loves you and who can think straight. When you lose sight of God, you need someone who can bring you back together with them. Someone who can help you get there. I particularly enjoy conversations where people will describe things, biblical things, biblical problems that people have, and they'll look at me and they'll go, am I crazy? And I get to say something like, you're as crazy as Elijah. You are as crazy as Paul. You are as crazy as some of the greatest people in the Bible, whom God healed, restored, and used to great purpose. See, it's part of the devil's trick to make you think that you're so broken and useless you can't be repaired. But it's God's love that can repair and restore all those things. The devil wants you singled out. He wants you alone. He wants you to feel more broken than anybody else. But folks, it is not the size of the crack in your heart. It's about the size and skill in your Heavenly Father's hand. And that is what you require. And of course, we would say if there's any medical reason to believe there's an issue, oh, please speak to that doctor. I couldn't find any numbers on this, but how many people, for medical reasons, ignored what was going on, right? Well, I've got this problem, and it turned out that their medication was wrong. Right? Big red warning signs, don't mix these two, and somehow those two got mixed together, and stuff happened. Or you ever watch those commercials where they advertise medication to you? right? This right here, take this for depression. Also, some of the side effects, depression, suicidal thoughts, leaky elbows, neighbors who owe you money. It's just crazy. Crazy. Go talk to the doctor. Hey, doc, you know how you started me on that new medication? Yeah? Man, I've been wanting to jump in front of traffic ever since you got me on it. Why? I don't know. Just seems like a good idea. Bring it up. Well, I'm a Christian. You want to keep living? Because even if you can keep that thought at bay like a good Christian, that stuff's got to be doing more stuff than just that. And I'm not up here telling you not to take your medication. I'm saying, we know the science of this stuff. Be careful. Talk to the people that study the stuff. Right? See what's going on. I've known some people that sat there, man, they had all kinds of issues. And they thought maybe they had this illness or that illness. The therapist had them all over the place. Doctor put them under a scan, found a growth in their brain. You never know until you look into it. You never know. So again, what do? We don't go it alone. We have to fix the spiritual. Something must be done to restore your hope in the Lord. Sometimes it's repenting of sin. Sometimes it's getting back to doing the things you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes it's just as simple as altering your diet. But we got to do something to restore your hope in the Lord. What really is going on with Ahithophel? You got to remember, Ahithophel had a grudge. We may sympathize with that grudge, but that's wrong. It's still sin. It's still sin. Right? If I was Ahithophel, I would say David's lucky to be alive. I'll just be honest. If you've got a Ferrari brain like Ahithophel had, David ought to be praising God he survived the whole thing with Bathsheba. He held a grudge. Bitterness poisons. And sin does what it does. And one of the many things that sin does is it runs you out of hope. It magnifies your problems. And in many ways, it doesn't just magnify them, but it properly multiplies them. So it doesn't just look like they're bigger than they are. They get big. Your faith must be in the Lord. It's not just about my perspective. Now it's about my obedience. Right? Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Following any instruction that's His. Faith. What you say to do, I will do. The way you say it needs to be done, I'll do it that way. Now listen, this is where a lot of people sit there and say, well, brother, it's not that easy. I'm telling you, it kind of is. Again, you turn the dial down on the thing that was never meant to be that hot. You don't goose the gas as much as you do, and things will go a whole lot better. When you use things the way they're supposed to be used, they last longer. Illustration my pastor always used to use was using a flathead screwdriver as a pry bar. You quickly find yourself going through a lot of screwdrivers that way. Want to know why? Screwdrivers aren't designed to be pry bars. Now some of you are looking over at me going, brother, you're out of your head. Come on. I knew a guy one time, and I kind of developed this philosophy too. Well, there's some that you go to Harbor Freight for. What do you go to Harbor Freight for your tools? Well, if I know I'm going to beat them to death, I'll make them cheap. So he'd go, he had a bunch of Harbor Freight screwdrivers. And one day I'm sitting there watching him pry two pieces of metal apart with a flathead screwdriver, probably designed just to, you know, adjust the little globe on your light, you know? Snap! Man, they make these things so cheap. No, it wasn't made to do that. So when a Christian forces himself or herself into unchristian behavior with unchristian habits, trying to solve problems in an ungodly way, and you're stressed, broke, wore out, and bent out of shape, give you a theological word here, duh. Of course you are. You're a new creature. You don't work that way no more. And you never really did work that way. You could pass before, but now it's going to chew you up. Fighting and feuding instead of forgiving. Staying quiet when you ought to be talking about the truth, or staying quiet when you could be asking for help with the problem that you're going through. You're not meant to do that anymore. We need to fix the spiritual. We need to fix the behavior. Like Elijah, you need to take care of your body. In Elijah's case, it was rest and food and time spent with the Lord. Is that not what fixed him? Elijah, poor guy, he thought he was out of moves, didn't he? I am alone. They are big. We have lost. God goes, I've got thousands of them out there, man. You got moves. I'm going to send you over here. I'm going to hook you up with Elisha. And this is your next move. This is what you're going to do. And you know what he did? And one fiery wagon ride later, he's doing all right. You might think you're out of moves. You might think you don't have any options. You might think there's nothing you can do. And you know what? You're right. Just 100% on all of them. But you forgot about God. You forgot about God. I mentioned, I know I'm going late. Maybe you haven't realized it yet, so don't look. I'm going to make sure I get them right. I'm trapped by this problem, and there's no hope. Yeah, but here's the thing. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. So, you know what? You might not have any. God's going to make sure that by the end of this firestorm, you'll have more. He is the source of all my hope. Where I can't, he can. His name is I Am. Mine is I Maybe. I Sometimes. I Try. He's I Am. I am alone in this problem and no one can help me. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He tells us that we are worth more than the birds, more than the fields of flowers. But he loves us to the point of knowing every hair on our heads, even if you're taller than your hair. He knows them. I heard a brother say one time, he was blessed with that masculine gene. Makes your hair fall out. And he was talking about this verse. He says, knows every hair out of my head. Some smart aleck young kid goes, you don't have any hair on your head. Then God knows the number of my nose hairs. I think he might have said something about his ear hair too. I was too busy doubled over laughing. I wasn't expecting it. That's how much he loves you. Bible says our God is not untouched by our infirmities. We serve a God who fights for us. I am powerless in my current situation to do anything, and the most likely the cause of it, people would be better off without me. Whereas what he's done is he has taken you and he has made you a reflection of his love, his light, and his ability. Your weakness makes his strength perfect. I'm just a little stick of wax. Yeah, that the Lord lit on fire. And you can take that light and point others to him. He takes what is in abundance. Nothing more abundant, I don't think, in our life. There might be a few things, but one of the biggest things we have in abundance is salt. I'm just salt. It's salt of the world, son. Salt of the earth. He sits there and he lights you up and he brings you up high. He doesn't hide you under a bushel, kids.
No.
He sets you up as a light on a hill. Because it is no longer a matter of what we are capable of, but completely a matter of what God can do through us. And I'll say this. What did God say to Elijah when he caught him in that position? Was it this? Was it, "You're worthless, man. Everything I've done for you, what's wrong with you?" You know what he did? "What doest thou here, Elijah?" How many times did God ask Elijah, "What are you doing here?" "Well, Lord, this is going on. Here's an idea. Let me give you some of the things to take care of you. And I'm going to bring you up. We're going to have a meeting. I'll sort you out." As Christians, it behooves us to be a help and an encouragement to people in this situation. I like how Brother Mark put it during the devotion. You don't have the right to do this. We're not being soft on this. We're not sitting there going, "Oh yeah, it's perfectly..." It's not. And because it's not, we say, "Well, what are you doing here?" "Well, I got these problems." "What are you doing here?" "Well, this is going on." "All right, well, here's what you need. Let's work you through some of these problems. You got no right to do that. But let me give you the things you're obligated to have, to do. Let me help you." And I mentioned it in the beginning of the sermon, and I'll say it here at the end. We ought to desire to help one another. We ought to desire to strengthen each other. It's one of the wonderful things about being part of a church, is that we can be a help. Not just to the people who, like Elijah or Ahithophel, feel as though there are no moves left. The people like Abimelech, who were in so much pain and embarrassment over it, they figured there was no other result. Saul, who feared the future and desired to die. Samson, who knew that there was no life beyond this, and he knew that he could make things better by ending it there for all of Israel if he took those Philistines out. We see people like that, not just them, but the people who are helping them, we lift them up. What are you doing here? "Man, I'm in a bad way." "Well, don't go further. Come this way. Let me help you." It's rough living these days. It's rough living. And there's a lot of temptation. You know why I quoted 2022? Doggone it, I said I'd be done. You know why I quoted 2022? Because that was the last time we had solidified numbers. They always give you a couple years to get those numbers dialed in. We had the highest we had ever in 2022. I wonder what 23 and 24 will be like. Or 25. We cannot ignore this problem. We can't just sit there and say, "Well, Ahithophel was a bad guy, so, you know, there it is." When we flip the page and we see a lot of good guys went through it too, you know? What do you do? We realize that there is a faith component. We realize there is an emotional component. And yes, we realize there is a physical component. And we run these things down like we would any other issue, so that not another person gets lost that way. So not another life ends that way. Or that there's nobody having to live that way. Now, what I've given you here is a glossary. You can't fix any of these issues just by what I've given you. It takes time, effort, endurance, practice. It takes effort. But all answers are found in the Lord one way or the other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for you.
Lord, we're grateful for this process where patience turns to experience. Experience turns to hope. But Father, I pray this, that you help us to be weary. You help us, Lord, to be careful. And the Lord, at the slightest hint of any problems like this, Lord, that we come running to you. Father, help those that are hurting from histories where they've lost people this way. And Father, I pray that you help those who may be feeling this way. Lord, help your people to be the working of your hands. Help us, Lord, to bless the people around us, point them to you. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen.